The Jesuits will be holding their 35th General Congregation from Monday the 7th. The religious order, one of the Catholic Church's biggest, was founded by St. Ignatius of Loyola in the early 1500s. Some 225 Jesuits from provinces all over the world will be electing a new Superior General. They are expected to elect the successor to Dutch Father Peter Hans Kolvenbeck. Father Kolvenbeck is stepping down after almost a quarter century at the helm of the order, also known as the Society of Jesus. While the Jesuits today number close to 20,000 religious, but their ranks have suffered from the general decline in vocations in the Church in recent decades. Just 40 years ago, the order counted 36,000 members. Father Kolvenbeck spoke to Vatican Radio ahead of the congregation. He says the order, which focuses on mission, social justice, and peace, has been particularly involved in promoting the balance between faith and reason that Pope Benedict has so often spoken about.
Jesuits have a privileged position from which they can study this relationship. Our many universities throughout the world, which, of course, must consider dialogue between faith and reason. Once, the sciences of theology and philosophy were considered to be intimately connected to the range of human values. Now, positive sciences are taking possession of the transmission of the meaning and values of human life. Without placing obstacles in the path of science, a Christian university is called to seek truth in its totality and therefore also consider the alliance between science and Christian faith. As Blaise Pascal said once, in man there is something that infinitely supersedes man. In other words, in order to give meaning to human life, one cannot ignore the transcendence of faith. We receive light and a certain understanding of this mystery, which inevitably surrounds our entire existence from Christ's gospel. Between mystery and absurdity, we opt for mystery. A mystery cannot be proved by reason, but it is eminently reasonable. Indeed, John Paul II never accepted the principle of division and separation of revelation and reason. In the intellectual commitment which must characterize a Christian university in the 21st century, the Jesuits want to follow the path outlined by Pope Benedict, the study of a faith which illuminates and crowns reason's endeavors.
Because they are present in communities all over the world, the Jesuits have also been actively involved in interfaith dialogue. Father Kolvenbeck shares with us some insight.
If dialogue is to be possible, then it must go beyond mere courtesy and be carried out with sincere mutual respect. Without this, there is no dialogue. At most, there is confrontation. John Paul II indicated another path when he spoke of a dialogue of life that consists of sharing those same desires and concerns that are found in every community. The desire to live in peace for security in a pollution-free environment or desires. In this atmosphere of shared goals and solution-seeking, then a second step may take place, a religious dialogue, an exchange of spiritual and religious experiences in which genuine religious sentiments are found despite the obvious differences. Finally, there is religious dialogue rooted in theological elements drawn from both religions. Naturally, this is reserved for theologians, who should, with all respects, stop and dwell upon one insoluble problem The faith of Christians in the Holy Trinity cannot be reduced to pure monotheism, such as that professed by Islam. This last theological difficulty should not, however, prevent progress in the dialogue of life recommended by the Pope, because both Christians and Muslims have a truly religious sense of life and share the belief that man does not live by bread alone.
Father Peter Hans Kolvenbeck, outgoing Superior General of the Jesuit Order. Well, the new Superior General to be elected in the coming meetings will be received together with members of the congregation by Pope Benedict on February 21st here in the Vatican. Meanwhile, Father Thomas Rashford, who is Secretary of Communications for the Society of Jesus, sat down with Emer McCarthy. He said the order held its last congregation back in 1994.
This will be the 35th general congregation in almost 500 years of the Society's existence. So it's not something that happens very often. And the big difference is that a congregation, the primary reason for having one is to elect a new superior general, and he's elected for life. And now some, like Father Kolvenbeck, has been in office for 24 years already. The longest man was almost 30 years, but the superior general is responsible for works all over the world. So he has to get to know, there's still close to 18,000, 19,000 Jesuits. And even though our numbers are going down, the number of works we run keeps going up.
The Jesuits call the general congregation not on a regular basis like other orders. The last general congregation, as you pointed out, was 1994. So that was, almost 14 years ago at this point. Why are there such great distances, such great periods of time between one congregation and the other? Do you need less organization than other orders, or what is the difference?
Just in terms of the facts, of the 35 general congregations, 28 of them were called to elect a new general superior. So in times past, that usually meant the man had died, although the last three superior generals had all ended their life in poor health. So you get to the term of what somebody is able to do. So the main reason for calling a general election is to elect a new superior general. But the superior general's role is not something that changes very frequently. It takes a while because he has to know people all over the world. 6 years wouldn't be enough time to get to know everybody. 12 years isn't really that much time. But a lot depends on your health. Now, Father Kolvenbeck has had very good health, and so he's been able to stay at this a long time, but he's almost 80.
Looking at the fact that the Society of Jesus is a global society, I mean, you have Jesuits from all corners of the world. I'm struck by the fact that we have a low number in, for example, Eastern Europe. Well, that's obvious for obvious reasons. I mean, communism was in power there for such a long time. But I am struck by the fact that we have such a large number of Jesuits in East Asia and Oceania.
Well, it's not actually in both East Asia and South Asia. What's interesting there is that the number of Catholics in the population is relatively low, but the number of Jesuits is relatively high. Those are both younger countries. In general, for many religious orders, there are many more vocations in the Southern Hemisphere. So the Northern Hemisphere, Europe, and to a lesser extent the U.S., would tend to be older, whereas the other side is growing. And there's a lot, I mean, there's a billion and a half people in India, so even if the percentage of Catholics is low, the total number is not that low. And so they have a lot of vocations there. East Asia is a little bit less, but like Indonesia is one of our bigger provinces.
Indonesia?
Yeah, which is a majority Muslim country. But it does have a strong Catholic population, and it's had very strong vocations. It does work, and the church is very alive and very bright, very vibrant. Africa has a lot of vocations as well. What you find in for example, in Africa is that there are a lot of younger Jesuits. So they have a lot of really good men, but they're just coming into their own. taking the positions of leadership. So, for example, some of the African delegates who are coming are provincials who just finished doctorates, for example, and were kind of sent into administration and leadership roles very, very early on. Mm-hmm. So the society is still very much, it's very, very much alive. There are a lot of younger men. I think the median age of the delegates is somewhere in their early 50s. So it's not an early thing. At one point, the tradition was that it was the oldest men who would be voted to go to the congregation. But that's certainly not true. So now, like I say, so the delegates, by and large, there are a few, three or four, that are 70 or more. But the greatest number are in their 50s, some are in their 40s.
Father Thomas Rashford is Secretary of Communications for the Society of Jesus.